Discovery Bay regular CSD board meeting is now called to order.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect all members are present.
Thank you. This is the time for public comments, item D. I didn't see the cards. Does anybody have any comments? And I don't see anybody doing this. All closed, public comments. And on the consent calendar, for all terms of staff.
President, Mayor, staff is requesting that on item C2, the Register of District Invoices, that you pull that item for the purpose of removing the reference to Terracon Consultants invoice for $3,600 that's listed on the register. And staff is also requesting that you replace item C3, the Terracon invoice, with a corrected version of that invoice, which has been placed on your desk and the correction highlighted on it.
Very good, thank you.
Okay, I would just like to remove that item at this time. Not approved until after we've heard a presentation from the chair.
And I think that's fine.
And I believe it's item C3 you're referring to.
Correct.
Okay. So then the motion. You're removing item 2. Item 3 will be held until following C3. Until after the presentations.
D3. C3 to D3.
Big four. Okay. C3 to C4. C3 to D3. No, okay. D3. Any other items any board member would like to see?
So before we make the motion, so just to be clear, we've got the register that's going to be on there. The register is going to be in the consent calendar minus the Terracon bill that's on the register now. And we're pulling the Terracon, which is C3, to be heard after the presentation.
Correct. And just to give a note, C2 has been pulled off of the invoices.
No, C2 will remain in consent.
That's
with
the remaining one.
Yeah, it'll remain in consent with the amendment of taking the Terracon bill off.
Okay.
Of that register. So the register will be approved without the Terracon bill on there.
Perfect.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Carries. With that,
okay, at this particular time, now that I have assumed the strategic president's seat of the town of Discovery Bay, I want to acknowledge on behalf of or our past president. With that, I'm going to open this item here and we'll see where we go. I'd like to have former president Bill Mayer stand, please. And we have a nice gavel and plaque, and I'd like to present that to him for his fine, outstanding service for this past year. Congratulations.
You bet.
Here, here. Okay, with that, we're going to go to our staff for D2.
Okay, I've called field coordinator from CSDA, Colleen Haley.
Hi, folks. As you know, I work for CSDA. You're Bay Area field coordinator, so thank you for being one of our members. I really appreciate your membership. And I see a lot of familiar faces on our board, so thank you for attending our meeting. We really appreciate that. But here today, I'm here on behalf of the Special District Leadership Foundation, which I'm sure you're familiar with as well. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the foundation and then tell you about our recipient today, your general manager, Mike Davies, and the Special District Administrator certificate that he has gained here today. Yeah, we call it a certificate, it's actually more of a plaque. So, anyways, just thought I'd clarify that. But the Special District Leadership Foundation is a 501c3 not-for-profit. It's dedicated to promoting excellence in special districts through recognition programs to highlight and focus on implementation best practices. There are currently four. There are two for the district as a whole. One is the transparency certificate, and another one is the district of distinction, which is a few steps farther than that. And then there's two for individuals. One, obviously, is the administrator certificate, which we're passing on here tonight and acknowledging the work of your GM. The other one is for board members, in case you'd like to go on there in your special distribution foundation governance certificate. But we're here once again about the administrative certificate, so I'll tell you a little bit about that. The certificate certification is a voluntary designation. You didn't have to do this, it's voluntary. And it's sought by individuals who strive to be the best in their field. This certificate requires a 2-hour exam covering various aspects of special district administration and gives successful candidates recognition unmatched by any other program. The 2-hour exam covers all key aspects of special district administration, including governance, legal requirements, policy development, ethics and public service, strategic planning, and public finance. Therefore, why is it important? Because it demonstrates a commitment to the profession and to special districts. It recognizes one as a standout and one of the quote unquote best in the field, reflects achievement and the fulfillment of a set of standards and requirements, can improve one's career opportunities, improves overall skills and knowledge, and offers greater potential recognition from peers and agency governing boards. Therefore, on behalf of the board and the staff of the Special District Leadership Foundation, it's my pleasure to present Mike Davies with a certificate of Special District Administrator recognition of successful completion of the exam, a high level knowledge and expertise in the areas of special district management and governance, and a strong commitment to the community. Congratulations.
While they're doing that, can I make a comment? So, going down to the convention we had down in Anaheim last year, I talked to several people that had attempted to pass the same class and to get the same certificate. And it's not just an easy 2-hour class. There's actually people that have tried numerous times to complete this process, and it really is a very difficult and arduous process of studying and the things that he had to learn to do that. So I just want to acknowledge all the hard work that you put into to doing that, Mike. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Six times you took it before you passed it?
At least, and I'm just hoping that maybe my staff will listen to me now when I actually ask them to do something.
That's as long as you bring any meaning money more with you.
That's right.
That's right.
I would like to acknowledge also the effort that you put in, Mike, and it certainly bodes well for the position of holding how you represent the community today. Thank you.
I'd just like to add that this recognition really means more than just me, because this was a partnership between myself and the board, and the board has done their part to receive recognition, and by virtue of what we've done together, we are now a platinum level of governance, and I think that's something to be proud of, and I know we're going to get that award. You'll be back on the platinum level award. So thank you, but congratulations to you as well.
Okay, with that, we'll move to presentations, D3, TerraCom.
Good evening, Governor Pease, members of the board. My name is Jim McClellan. I'm with TerraCom Consultants. My office is in Walla Creek, and I've relatively new to TerraCom, even though I've known them for about 20 years. I'm approaching completing this my first year with them. Most of my communication with the town on this project has been with Mike Davies. So with that statement, I'm not sure how much you know about the project or the progress or the design of the project and what you need to know tonight.
Let me clarify for you. Let me ask a question. Because you're here as a representative, when did we sign a contract with you?
last spring, I think.
And on a project this size, approximately how long does it take to complete construction drawings?
6 months.
So we're a little overdue, right?
Yes, sir.
So there's what I want, or what we would like to know.
And that is not Terracon's fault. It's totally nothing. It's a workload issue. It's too much to do, and the project couldn't get done in a timely manner to resolve that.
Well, I don't want to throw an arrow at you, but I don't care. The question I have now is that we've got invoices in front of us for deliverables that we have not seen. We were told at the last update that we would be going to the county for their review, and that's what I was expecting to hear tonight. So can you give us an update on from where we are right now, when you would expect these construction drawings to be into the county for their review?
There's some design that was presented to Mr. Davies, which he has reviewed with staff, I think. Mm-hmm. In addition to the scope of the contract for the pool, the county is requiring all of the plumbing fixtures that support the pool, which would be primarily toilets and sinks, be of the quantity to meet code. As the facility is right now, that code is not met. So Mike and I talked about what do we do to do that. Can we do temporary? No, the county will allow temporary signs on the permit. Can we use the locker rooms, the existing locker rooms, and convert them with additional toilet facilities to meet the code requirements? Mike said, give it a go. So I presented that to him. I don't have any feedback yet for it, but if that design decision can be made tonight in the affirmative, it would take us about 2 weeks to finish up the plumbing and electrical for those, and a couple of architectural details, and we give it a go.
Why would you need our approval to come up with a design for the bathroom facilities if we've known we've had this issue for a month, 2 months now?
If I present a design solution to solve the condition, I need your approval before I commit that to the county.
President Pease, you probably haven't, maybe you missed the email. I did send back, I think late last week, that staff had looked at it and we're good to go with that being part of, included with the plans.
Okay.
I have a question for clarification.
Sure.
So at least we all know what we're talking about. So there are bathroom facilities that the county is going to require for us, and we knew this, because of the increased size of the pool and the increased population, and you have to be able to provide X amount for the capacity. Were they saying it had to be a separate facility at the pool as opposed to just expanding or increasing or updating what we currently have? Is that where there was a weren't we always just talking about using these bathrooms as pool bathrooms?
Well, sort of the three-part answer is facilities have to be within 200 feet of the pool in terms of location.
Okay, are we?
Definitely.
Okay.
Secondly, there's a quantity of toilets and lavatories that need to be provided from LIM and NIN based on the footprint.
Sure.
Okay. The aspect of including that as a county requirement, we went through the scope of the contract, which was just the pool construction documents, not addressing this because there was mostly concern about the cost of those toilet rooms and what they would incur, and could the county accommodate that. So that wasn't my decision to make in terms of committing the town to building those toilet rooms without that approval. If it came, thank you. I was out sick Friday and then so. If you could go to the fourth slide.
Yes.
The backup one. So, can I go over?
Sure.
Okay. So This is the existing locker rooms now.
Got it.
Women, and the sauna that's being used as storage right now. In order to, I mean, it lays out great. We reduce the size of what the sauna space is, and we can line up all the toilets on the back wall, add the lavatories required. And it's a very simple, straightforward solution to providing the fixtures needed without demolition of a whole lot of walls and building new things. You probably be okay, we're going to use the same doors, that kind of thing. So there is the approach to keep the cost of this at a section to the project cost.
So that would eliminate any showers. Are there showers in there currently?
There's two showers in each
side, yeah. Okay?
Right. You can accommodate the deletion of those by providing outdoor showers, which we think is a good economical alternative. It's done.
I'm with you. Just one clarification. Yeah, no, that's good. That would be part of the cost that you're putting together, would be some sort of a standing outdoor shower that would just be for rinsing off.
Correct.
Getting chlorine off, whatever people's perceptions are.
Exactly.
So let me get back so that I get a good handle on this. Now that you know you have the approval, go ahead and do that design and submit that along with the construction designs to the county. So it looks like it's been designed. Is it ready to submit to the county?
I need to do the electrical and the plumbing sheets for that.
Okay, how long will that take?
I'll get on the phone tomorrow and I'll find out. Mr. Davies, no. It's a matter of.
All right, I guess I need to know a little bit more about the Walnut Creek office. Do you have engineers or design folks there, or are they somewhere?
We have aquatics engineers in Walnut Creek. Our MEP is elsewhere.
Well, here's my suggestion to get over this hump. We're going to pay every dime that you guys deserve. Everything that is in the contract. But at this particular point, I think this board is so frustrated that we need to be ensured that you are now finished with your designs. They have now been submitted to the county. And once we, if the board approved, once we receive acknowledgement that our construction designs, including the bathrooms, etc., are in the county for their review, we'll pay everything that's due for that. Are you good with that?
I would direct you to do so.
We're talking specifically now about the bathrooms, but there's an entire project. Do we know if our parking lot could accommodate the amount of cars that are going to be whenever you have a facility and it has an occupancy on it, they're going to say you have to have so many parking places for that occupancy. Now we're expanding the pool. Are we going to do this step by step, or are we going to get one? I mean, when are we going to get that final price that includes everything the county's requiring of us in order to put that size pool in? That's really what we're interested in. I'm interested in. I don't want it to be a step by step process where we just go. If it has to be that, I guess, but I mean, you guys are the experts. You guys do this all over the country. I saw your trucks in Texas when I was there. I mean, you guys are all over the place. You should know what needs to be done in total for the project, not just the pool, not just the pool and the bathroom, not just the pool, the bathrooms and the walkway. Everything. And I think that's where my frustration comes in, is that are we getting to that point?
Let me sort of, for lack of a better term, sort of regroup. Contractually, we're to do construction documents for the pool. This is something that makes it code compliant. Has to happen.
Yeah.
We talked to the county about trying not to do it, okay, because we really weren't changing the aquatic programming of the facility. Why should we have to increase the support facility? We do. That's the first line. in terms of parking, that's also dependent upon what you're actually applying program.
It's not based on the capacity of the pool, what it's capable of doing. I mean, when we built other facilities here in town, which was involved with building a church, and we expanded to the classrooms, and they said, well, how many, what's the maximum amount of, it didn't matter if we only had 3 students or if we had 150 students, we had to provide parking for their parents based on the fact that the capacity was X amount of people. Not how many people are signed up for the program, but how many people can use that facility at one time.
And that's conversation that typically the owner or the user would have with the jurisdiction, that this is the plan that we have to have to use our facility. And we're going to have a recreational swim team, we're going to have X number of swim meets, we think there's going to be X number of swimmers and their parents here. And that number could vary depending upon your community and, the programs. So if you had a swim meet with, you know, a couple of hundred swimmers and their parents, that's probably no change to the program that you have now. But if you have an event where you might have 500 or 600 or 700, okay, this pool could accommodate that. But if you're not going to have that, then you also have to have that kind of conversation with the family plan. What I'm saying is I'm more than willing to have that conversation. But then we need to go back and talk about the programming and what all do we want to do with the pool, and we can set a number to it.
Okay, if I read it through the tea leaves, I think with all of that, in lieu of burdening your firm with figuring all that out, that staff and or whomever needs to go down to the county and address those problems, outline our program, and see if all these other things are coming into play so that we can come back to you and say, here's what we have to do, and then you guys figure out the design portion of that.
I'd like to be part of that conversation.
Well, that's fine.
My recollection is that we tried that once, and you met with somebody, and they came up with some things, and I think your feedback to me was that this person said, you know, these are some things that you're going to need to do, but I don't do pools. You have to talk to this other person, and the other person wouldn't even get back to you.
That was the building department. Planning was actually pretty good, and they're concerned about the accessibility, right? Got the travel from the parking lot to the pool. That's accommodating. The accessibility to toilet facilities, which isn't until now. So the planning department is full.
You said something interesting there, though. So accessibility is good. We don't have to add another gate or another walkway or anything. They're good with
that. Well, the pool is getting some upgrades, you know, with the lift and...
Yeah, but I mean actual accessibility from the pool to the facility. We're good with that right now. Okay.
Because I think it's the only thing that's deficient about the overall facility is the accessible toilet.
Gotcha. That's good to know.
If I recall, based on your predecessor, when you have the requirements that are for the health code, for the planning, for building, and everybody else, I thought that the feedback that we got before was, well, we can give you some feedback, but until we see this, we can't tell you what you need to do. Is that they need to see that plan. That they weren't going to give us you're good until they see the plan, and we can't give them a plan with everything in it until they review it. So we're kind of a little bit of a catch-22. Well,
I've heard that elsewhere, and I disagree with it.
Okay.
If that comment came from Tara Cullen, it's never going to happen again.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. President Pease, thank you. I just want clear that if you move forward on designing all the electrical and the construction documents actually on this bathroom stuff, is that an additional cost? If it is, we need to re-agendize that and approve it separately, because it's not currently in the contract.
Under normal circumstances, yeah, it's additional scope. But given the overall circumstances and TerraCon's performance to this point, no.
Okay.
All right. Olive branch accepted. I think we're still back to the same point. We need to take the bathroom facilities, finish up whatever drawings, electro, all that stuff, get it to the county so they can do their review, and along with the, it comes with a, the design comes with a site plan which is going to outline our parking facility, etc. So then the county would have the ability to give us final feedback, well, not final, but at least 90% feedback on, here's all the other things you may or may not need.
Yeah. Not a way to think of it, 40 grand or 4 sheets, but this is a progress set. What's ready to go to the building department except for the plumbing electrical.
Okay, so we go back a little bit. You mentioned you'll check with your folks that do that electrical and plumbing work. Figure out how long it's going to take to get those into the documents. Give Manager Davies an update on when you can get to the county.
I can do that. I can update you tomorrow.
Perfect. And I think, as I mentioned earlier, if the board is willing, once you can get those documents, all inclusive, whatever else needs to go to the county, at that point, you would have completed your construction document phase. Is that correct?
Well, that's...
I mean, you're going to have to modify once the county...
What I usually do, I mean, Terica likes to build 100%, we're going to get away with it, but typically I will build 90% when we submit to budget. And that's because I'm sure that the building and health and plant, they're going to have some comments and we'll have to...
Correct, and that's what this invoice says, 90%.
Right.
So I think this board would be happy to pay that 90% once they're submitted to the county.
I agree.
So, President Pieser, you would like to make that as a motion?
Just one comment. Is it clear now, do you know what we're looking for? And that is really, we want a final figure.
That's right.
And we want it as quickly as we can get it, because there's more work to do once we get that. Is that clear?
Yeah, the cost estimate will probably take me through the weekend.
Well, the cost estimate is not a...
I want the bottom line figure, pool, and all the other necessary ADA, anything else that we need.
Probably did that. So,
no, when?
Estimate.
Okay.
Right. He just guessed. You're going to be providing.
Yeah, I can give you an estimate. That's...
Yeah, we spent a long time waiting for the number, and we can't make decisions until we see the number.
Correct.
Okay. Any questions on, you're clear on what we need.
So before there's any motion, we'll let him finish the presentation. We'll finish the presentation, then we can take a motion on the action for the invoice.
Correct.
Okay, can we back up a couple of slides? Sort of take through it. Since, honestly, you haven't seen the thing?
Yeah, we saw
bits and pieces.
Bits and pieces.
Okay. This is the first I've seen. Except for the bathrooms, this is the first I've seen this, except for the design, and the board has seen the design.
Kind of a footprint.
Next one?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the pool area site plan, but you can probably figure that out. This area to the upper right is the existing shed where the backwash pit is located in this corner here. We will continue to use that pit. I'm going to create a new one. Can you scroll this up a little bit?
Sure.
The old location of the pump equipment is in this area right here.
Oops, sorry, did I mess it up?
No, I thought I did it. At the bottom of the sheet here, where you see the outline of where the fence is.
Yeah.
And then we're just moving that just a little bit. Okay, we're keeping it generally in the same locations. We want to keep all this equipment there deep in. That's where most of the water goes up to the pumps. Community buildings here, your accessible path of travel is into this gate here from around the building. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that ramp exists up there. Mm-hmm. So we're pouring new landings on either side to make sure everything is complete when we're done. We're moving some landscaping around, but generally you're ending up with a 6-line, 75-foot, you know, pool that you can host meets in. Next slide. You've seen the bathrooms. Now, this is royally boring stuff, and that's why I only brought 4 slides to present. And most of the information that tells you more is in the set, and if you're really interested in all of the mechanical details and the equipment and all those kinds of things, you can really take your time to do that. And if you have any questions, you can call me. I'll come back and buy you a burger, and we'll talk all about it. But generally, the new, you're getting all new equipment. Filters, pumps, heaters. The area is, you know, we have more water to process and sanitize and heat. This will be in an enclosure. It won't be in a building. The enclosure will have a roof. The design for that is on the side of the ship there. I want to talk to you about that. Which is a quick change that I want to make to the design of that enclosure. Sometimes our drafters kind of get a little ahead of themselves, and the way they can design the enclosure walls is I'm going to change that to something that's a little more, what's the term, aesthetically pleasing.
Through the chair. We've seen these documents, these are actually the design set documents that you're showing up here, correct? And that these are the actual construction documents?
Well, these 4 that I'm showing up here are out of that set.
Because these do look familiar to me, and I thought it was presented as part of the design set.
I may be
confused, but I think we looked at it at the end of the design phase.
Well, because it's part of the design process. Right. You know, we've got to get this figured out. How much water are we dealing with, and some size equipment are we going to select, process that, and then get that arranged right away?
So we haven't figured that out yet?
No, yeah. No.
Well, we have, or we have not?
We have. Oh. The selection of the equipment and the piping, that was all figured out early.
Well, I have just a comment. I'm not sure now, given, you made a comment earlier regarding that the county might impose additional restrictions or requirements based on our aquatics program, which we have not necessarily fixed.
That's addressed as a parking comment.
Correct.
How many people are going to attend?
As one consideration.
As one consideration.
So I'm not sure, does staff now need to provide the county with an aquatics program that we plan to have in place? I mean, the whole reason that we're going to expand the pool was to have a meets there, and some of these meets could be 500, 600, 700, 800 people. So I've been to these meets, so I know how large these are. So I'm not sure now, do we have an additional burden of information gathering to present to the county to ensure that our parking lot makes sense as one item?
I would ask that question to Dean.
And possibly one of the ways to help that, you wouldn't have a 400 or 500 people meet every event, but on occasion, if we can get a use permit from the Hoffman company across the street where their parking facilities over there and in the lot that's empty, that may suffice the county's issue on this once in a while issue. So we've got some flexibility to find solutions to that.
We talked about what we thought the aquatic programming would be. And yes, a recreational swim team would be part of what happens here. Yes, most of the swim meets would probably be 2 teams, maybe 200 swimmers, more or less, and their families. That's very manageable. Maybe once a summer you have a rec league meet, and that might be 7 or 8 teams. Or 10 teams,
our pool isn't big enough for
it. I'm sorry?
The league has told us our pool is not big enough for it. That pool will not be big enough for it.
Okay.
So we won't have it there.
So staff's a little confused. I mean, I could bring this issue up with the county, which may not be an issue with the county until I bring it up. That's a little bit of a concern that I have, but I want to make sure that what they approve is everything.
I think we can look at it. As we've been doing the summer jam out here, how many people show up there? You know, the summer jam, a couple hundred, 300?
Thousand.
A thousand, and we accommodate it. So let's not get too complex here. We have to meet the codes, I understand that, but we've been able to manage.
It never gets addressed until something new happens.
I agree.
Okay.
And the question's got to be raised, but I don't think that's a stopping point.
Single event, large population, the events that you're talking about, county's not concerned about that. What are you going to do every day?
That's right.
And that's what we need to have the county address.
And we're not unique. There's every team that swims in this league has the same meets. They have the same number of people, so the permits they have at Oakley and the permits they have at Brentwood aren't going to be any different than the permit here.
Right.
So we're not creating new territory.
When your firm submits construction documents, et cetera, to the county, is that something that you personally do, or is that another staff person that does that? How does that work? Do you feel at that meeting when you're going to present that and outline that to the county planners that a representative of our staff would be helpful to be there to answer some questions?
When we submit, they're not going to do any review of the drawings. They're just going to take them.
Say thank you very much.
Thanks for the money.
Right. We'll let you know. They hand it off to the planner.
Right.
Perhaps staff could work through Jim to make an appointment with an appropriate person at the county for us both, or him and another staff member, to go to that meeting and raise stuff like, are there going to be additional requirements for the parking lot, et cetera?
Or maybe don't raise anything until they raise it.
Let's see what happens.
Well, and so just so I'm clear, I know this is, I'm sorry now, but when this is done, when you finally get the electrical on this, it's going to be submitted to the county for approval?
For building department, go through building department, fire department.
Exactly.
Everything.
And
separate submittal to environmental health.
At that point, they could go out for bid because it's a total package. If it's approved, that's what's going to stimulate any comments from the county. How long does that process take from now, from this date? I know
so
you can't
the
predict.
Middle?
Yeah.
Let's say they're really efficient and it'll take them a month to get comments back.
Yeah, I'd expect more than that. Okay.
Yeah. I was going to suggest, before we nose into what the county wants, let me review, again, the county zoning. And then I'll review that with you.
So if I understand this discussion, within 2 to 3 weeks, maybe sooner, you will have the ability to take your construction drawings and everything, including all the revised things, to the county and submit those for their comments.
Correct.
Okay. And another month from that, we should be able to get those back for comments that you can address in a
couple of weeks. Resubmit.
Correct. So we're looking at about 2 months from now.
And typically, when we resubmit, that's when you'll want to go out to bid.
And at that point, though, they'll have addressed any of these concerns that we have that we might be worrying about nothing. I hope we are, right? But at that point, they're going to have made their comments and say, no, that drawings aren't completed yet because they didn't address this, or yeah, they look pretty good. You might make a couple of adjustments here and there or whatever, but it'll be hopefully within 60 days from now, we'll be able to have a set of drawings that we can make it and have a decent idea of what the cost is going to be to complete that project. It's pending the county's cooperation.
Being recorded, what did you say?
So we're looking at around April for an update?
Middle of March.
Hopefully.
Would be my guess, you'd be back in front of us. You'd have submitted.
Get back.
Get it back. May whatever, so we have a meeting every two. So I would hope that at our second meeting in March that you would be able to come back to us and say, here we got all the comments from the county, et cetera, et cetera. And here's the our guesstimate on what this might be. Is that fair to reason that?
That's correct. Third Wednesday of the month.
All right. Are we under that? Okay, so
good guidance.
Now we'll get back to the motion for payment.
No.
Okay, we won't worry about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you for action on that. Helping us understand where
we are. Well, I'm just sorry that, you know, I'm here months and months and months ago.
You know what? We're moving forward. That's the important thing.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we leave the subject, though, in parallel, do we have a cutoff date for if we decide not to move forward with the pool redesign and just fix the pool as an option? What's the cutoff date to make sure we have a pool in place for 2020?
We have a new pool or a remodeled pool or an upgraded pool for the 2021 season.
And that's an important number to realize too, Dave.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, with that, we'll go to the Veolia report. Thank you.
We're in attack mode. You better be careful.
First of all, happy New Year's Eve.
Yes, sir.
Happy New Year. Happy December. Continue our safe practices. Good morning, Baptist and training for the staff, all mothers and
boys. Could you back up one thing there? That sounded pretty healthy to me. What is blood-borne pathogens?
That is, if somebody gets cut and get hurt, you don't go run over and help them without putting on some safety gloves, because you don't know what kind of bacteria they might have in their blood.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's employees. Yeah. So yeah, coming into the system.
Well, that's coming into the system, too.
Okay. That's another one.
Okay. I should all report to submit on time. About the 52 million gallons we produce water-wise out. So we're down about, the reduction was about 10% 2013. We can see a little bit of increase compared to last 2018. Anyway, wastewater continued, nice to run very well, way below our permit limits. And on that note, we did receive our new permit, which goes into effect February 1st. Some of these permit limits will change as we move forward. No violations, all the inspections are running. Staff still doing assessments on the sewers on a weekly basis, and staff continues to work orders and keep them back off to a bare minimum. They actually had a very good month in December where they actually got called up for the year. And we only had one emergency power outage the last time where we lost power for about 12 hours. And we had a move the generators around. Over there on my people and stuff. Other than that, things are running very well.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
Yeah.
Good way to start the work.
Okay, well, this will go to business and action items. We'll go to staff to F1.
You have the staff report before you. This matter concerns the passage of SB 998 back in September of 2018, where the legislature and signed into law was a new law regarding shutoff of water service for non-payment of a person's bill. And in this SB 998 law, there are numerous requirements that have been that are imposed on water agencies concerning when you can turn off the water. And if you intend to turn off the water, there's certain requirements that you work with, people that are in economic distress, et cetera. We have to be in compliance with this law by February 1st, 2020. And the first part of this law is we have to have a policy on water shutoff that complies with SB 998, and it must be in five additional languages, which is Korean, Vietnamese, Tagalog, Spanish, and Chinese. And so we have drafted a policy to be in compliance with the law. It's been reviewed by legal, they've approved it, and I've gotten it translated into the five necessary languages, and it is attached here for your review. And approval, along with resolution 2020-01. So we're looking for your approval on that, and we need to we'll put that up on the website, which is also a requirement.
Well, give me a minute to compare the translations.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, looks good.
With that, I'll go to public comments. Is there any public comments on this item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board for any discussion and or motion.
I would move approval of the resolution.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We'll go to business action item F2.
Okay, you have the staff report before you. This is a continuation of the requirements of SB 998. While policy is required, there are also many procedural requirements that the town has to engage in and provide for. And the best way to do this, staff believe, was to amend our water ordinance number 7 to include those SB 998 requirements, along with giving us an opportunity to update the ordinance by eliminating provisions relating to application for water service security deposits, which is in the current law. We want to remove that. We don't take security deposits, just a nightmare to track. And creditworthiness requirements, again, that's a nightmare thing to go through. So we're eliminating those while at the same time strengthening customer appeal procedures. So the law's been before you is being introduced tonight for part of the amendment. How this works is that you introduce it tonight, we do a publication following, and we're also requesting a waiving of the first reading. And then what happens is we publish this in the paper, a summary of this document, and then we're gonna bring it back to the board at the next meeting for a public hearing and adoption of this revised ordinance, which then gets, again, published, a summary with a record of your vote, and then it will, 30 days later, be enacted as law. So this is the actual introduction tonight.
Thank you. Any clarifying questions from the board? Any public comments? I'll close public comments, bring it back to the board for discussion and or motion.
I'll make a motion to follow staff recommendations.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Go to business action items F3.
F3, as you know, we have an annual board workshop, and this agenda item is to ascertain from the board if they are good with the recommended date of Thursday, March 5th. At 4 p.m. here at the community center to hold the board workshop. We have some consideration of alternative dates, but we would like to get a date tonight so that we can start planning.
And it was Thursday, March 5th?
Thursday, March 5th at 4 p.m. We estimate probably about 2 hours or less, if things go right.
Yeah. I'm good.
I'm good.
Okay.
All right.
Sound good.
I don't think we need a motion to, or whatever.
They should take a motion.
Motion.
Okay, do I hear a motion to have March 5th designated as our support of the workshop.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. And with that, we'll go to the director's reports. So standing committee.
I don't see any on the sheet, but I did attend the ECCFPD meeting. It was a long meeting. They had a workshop starting at 4 o'clock, went on to 9 o'clock with the meeting. I won't bore you with all the details. There was one that might be of interest to this group, and that is that they did have a declaration of surplus property and the station 58 was the station out here, and I'm sure you're aware of that stuff. Okay. That was the important part to worry about.
Okay, we're in for standing committee meetings.
Well, the Park and Recs had a special meeting today. Very productive, Bill, the new landscape manager, came back and put together a real nice list of some observations of what's going on within the different zones of Discovery Bay. He put together a nice three-page kind of summation of deferred maintenance, whether it's landscaping or the tennis courts or other issues that need to be resolved. So it's a good start just to get a good grasp on what the current state of the condition of the town is. So the next month, Bill's to come back with the our next meeting with some price points, some estimates, and that'll allow the Park and Recs Committee then to bring those numbers to the rest of the board and start planning on how to remedy some of the deferred maintenance items that currently exist.
Thank you. I do have one question. I know that the dog park has been under renovation for quite a while. Do we have a date of opening for that?
The fence is going in on Monday. The seated now, and I would suspect
hopefully spring. We should be ready. It's a matter of if the grass is strong enough so that the dogs don't tear it up. If we get a lot of rain and then the grid doesn't grow and it's a muddy mess, we just don't want to open it and have come this far to have it torn up and not really be ready. So we're kind of waiting for weather and see how that grass goes. But next time you're here in daylight, we'll love to take you back and show you because we're excited. It looks good.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't think we should rush it. I know that the public is very anxious to get it going because it's been quite a while, but we're too close to have it messed up again.
I think they would appreciate it being solidly ready for them and not just kind of getting messed up.
Have you received any comments about the temporary one? Because I've gone into that a few times and it looks like it meets most of the needs.
People seem to... Yeah, it's getting used just as much as the one in the back did. I think folks were real happy that that's there for them, and it's used all through the day.
And I ask that because I did stop and talk to a couple of the dog owners, and they seemed to think this was pretty good. So I did hear there were some rumblings about the park opening, but I didn't understand why.
We're all anxious and excited, yeah. But we want to do it right.
Okay, is there any other reportable items? No. With that, we'll go to general manager's report.
No report.
Okay, we received some correspondence from various counties, and do we have any requests for future agenda items? Seeing none, meeting adjourned.